Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Livia,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 153. I am Shannon, and today we've got a little bit bigger of a crew. We've got Pete.
Hello.
And Sue.
Hi there.
So I know you guys recorded last week. I was actually headed. I just came back. I went to both Christmas parties for Thanksgiving weekend, and I'll mention that at the end, but you guys held down the fort while I was gone. But we have quite a bit of stories. We kind of was like, let's do a show. We had a couple stories, and then some more stuff came out today. So this is actually going to be a longer episode than we originally anticipated. But before we get into that, let's give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is DVC Rental Store. So if you are, maybe you want to dip your toes in with DVC, a really great way to do that is by renting points. You can kind of see what it is to stay on points without actually having to commit thousands of dollars. So you can, you know, hit up our friends at DVC Rental Store. So they actually have some pre-booked reservations that you can rent out. Or if you are looking for a specific week or maybe a specific resort, you can reach out to them and they will see if they will be able to match you up with an owner who is looking to rent out their points. So definitely hit up our friends at the DVC Rental Store. Let's go ahead and jump into our first story. And that is that this was the worst kept secret, is that the Disney's Lakeshore Lodge has been announced. So this was originally Reflections. Reflections, a Lakeshore Lounge.
Yes. It was Reflections, a Lakeside Lounge.
Lakeside Lounge. So they changed it a little bit. They have removed the Reflection. Feeling of it being a rehab facility.
Right.
And now it actually sounds like a resort. So it says DVC has made an official announcement about the construction going on at Fort Wilderness. And it is what many predicted, that Disney has restarted construction on the Reflections Resort. The project has been renamed as Disney's Lakeshore Lodge. And it was announced that plans are to open it sometime in 2027. This resort was first announced in 2018, but was postponed indefinitely after the pandemic. There has been no further information released, so it is not known if the construction plans will be identical to what was previously released. We posted that the layout of the resort and some concept art on the Lakeshore Lodge resort page on DVCHelp.com. The resort originally was going to be a shared cash and DVC resort similar to Boardwalk, showing at least 17 cabins as part of the layout. A Princess and the Frog inspired restaurant was also described. Now, this is a bit speculation, but we also wonder if we will see this resort combined with the cabins at Fort Wilderness, which are selling extremely poorly. Like, that's an understatement.
Yeah.
By making the cabins a trust, DVC set it up to potentially combine with future resorts. So I think that's probably good speculation. That might be the urgency to put this resort together.
Yeah, and I do want to clarify, when we say we posted on DVCHelp.com, that's actually my website. But if you go to DVCHelp.com, I always try to put a page there for the new resorts. So if people are wanting to look at the layout, we have the original it's not called blueprints, but whatever, overhead layout of the resort, as well as some of the concept art on there. If you go to dvchelp.com and look up under the resort info, Lakeside Lot.
I'm excited. And wasn't there supposed to be like a Pocahontas one too? Wasn't there going to be a Pocahontas restaurant too? I don't remember.
I think some of the rooms were going to be themed to Pocahontas, maybe.
I mean, excited because they got rid of the Mickey's Barbecue. Backyard Barbecue. And that always upset me that they got rid of it. It was really for no reason. I didn't mind that they got rid of it because they were building a new DVC resort. But when they got rid of it and then they didn't build anything, it was like, oh man, like it was such a great thing that we had fun with when Ryder was little. But I'm excited. I loved staying in the cabins. I do have some pros and cons with the cabins, but I think that would make sense if they combined it with the cabins. But I'm excited. And 2027 is not that far away if you think about it.
No, nope. I mean, it may be the longest announcement to resort opening in DVC history, though, right? 9 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're only 3 years away or less than 3 years away.
Yeah, so. 2.5 yeah. years away. So,
yeah.
And it's a great location.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great location. I still think they should have called it River Country Lodge or something. Yeah. River yeah. Country Resort.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe the pool would be called River Country. I don't yeah. know. But
I was going to say, if they don't call the pool River Country, they're missing an opportunity there.
Or at least have a lazy river. Like have right. a lazy River Country. I don't know, something. But they need to yeah. have an homage to River Country. But other than that, I'm excited. I think it's great. And I'm all for it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Sue, you still haven't gotten to the cabins, though, right?
No, every time I've made a reservation for the cabins, something has happened. Like the last time it was the hurricane, and right. so we were evicted. I just...
Oh, no.
Yeah, every time I try and make a reservation, something comes up that prevents me from staying in the cabins.
That's like us with using Storm Along Bay. Every time we book a stay at Beach Club, something happens, and we have yet to use Storm Along Bay.
Yep. I get it.
But actually, I had a friend that goes every Thanksgiving. I talked about her on the show before that they go, they have like a group of like 8 or 9 families that they go every Thanksgiving. They spend time at the cabins. And this was the first year they stayed in the new cabins. And they booked cash, but they did stay in the new cabins and they loved them. Yeah. They absolutely loved them. So they actually are inquiring now about DVC. I don't think they'll purchase because they're not Disney people, but they do go every year. So I was like, it makes sense if you go yeah. every year.
It does. Yeah. yeah. Long term. I mean, if you're yeah. going to keep doing it every year. Yeah.
And they stay at the Fort Wilderness cabins every year. It makes sense. But they loved it. They love the new layout. I think the new cabins are beautiful. I like them so much better than the other ones. I know a lot of people don't think that the aesthetic, I'm all for them. So maybe I'm in the minority, but I like them. So
well, that's it. It's a nice twist. So now we'll move on to the new operating hours that are coming to the Epcot Lounge. So with the new membership Magic Beyond, the Epcot Lounge will be changing hours coming January 12th. Starting that day, the normal operating hours will shift an hour earlier from 10 a.m. all the way to 5 p.m. And then the lounge is going to close for an hour and reopen for the Membership Beyond benefit. So that if you pay for the Membership Beyond benefit, then you'll be able to get in there from 6 to 9 p.m. and have a character meet and greet in the lounge. We don't know if there's going to be any drinks or snacks available during that time, but you'll be able to take advantage of some really great pictures with some of the characters.
Okay, so that's interesting. So the yeah. characters are only going to be at night, not during like the lounge time.
Correct. Yep. And so you have to have the membership magic in order to be able to participate.
And it's kind of a little weird to me that they're closing for an hour. Because yeah. like, why is that even necessary? Well, I mean, I could see they got to clear everybody out. So maybe a half hour.
And then clean.
Well, but, not only that, yeah. but the characters, for pictures, the characters have to have their specific backgrounds. According to Disney. So if you're going to take pictures in there for the meet and greets, they'll have to put the backgrounds up for each one of the characters.
And then also I did read, now I read this on a message board. So, you know, we all know how reliable those are,
right?
But that you can only use the character meet is only like one time for the year. Is that it?
I think it's one time per trip.
Per trip? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear, like, I understand, and it's like you have to be staying on points to use the benefit. It's not like right. if you're local, you're not staying on points, you can just go to Epcot and take the character meet and greet.
Right.
Which I understand why they do that, because it's really for the people, you know, because unfortunately, it's one of those things, like, that's why I'm not local. It doesn't affect me, but it's like one of those times where this is why we can't have nice things, where sometimes people take advantage. I get it. It kind of stinks for someone like Sue, who's local, who could go, but I do see why they do that, because they really want to make sure that it's not a long wait. So it's really a benefit.
Yeah. Well, especially for the people who are DVC members who are traveling here, because there are a lot of members that live here, live locally. And it's like with the membership Moonlight Magic, you would have quite a few of them that knew that it was coming out. They'd book a room for a night and they'd go to the Moonlight Magic, but then they'd cancel their reservation.
Yeah.
And there was no way of them picking up that they canceled the reservation. And to me, that just wasn't fair, because you've got so many members who plan their vacation a year in advance and they're all excited for coming. And guess what? Now they announce Moonlight Magic and they can't wait to participate in it. And they are on the phone for a long, long time trying to get that reservation.
So the one thing I'm glad to see is they're not shortening the hours. I mean, yeah, they're moving them an hour early, but they're still giving you 7 hours a day if you do not pay for this benefit to use the lounge. The whole thing is fair. You're paying extra for an extra benefit. I'm fine with it.
They're not taking anything away.
Yep.
Right. And but they're still doing get to the front of the line. If you're a member Magic person, if you've got that benefit, you get to the front of the line.
But I don't think that'll be as big a deal in Epcot.
Oh, Magic Kingdom, it will.
Oh, Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
It will in Magic Kingdom. I agree. Yeah. But I think in Epcot, I don't know, maybe it's hard to predict how many people are going to buy this. I think Epcot never has that long a wait anyway. Right. So I don't think there'll be enough people that get that head of the line that if you don't have it, you know, maybe instead of waiting 20 minutes, you're going to wait 30 minutes. But I don't think it'll be a problem to get in.
Right.
I hope.
We'll see. So Shannon, there's more on Membership Magic.
Yes. So Disney has released a bit more information on Membership Magic benefit of discounted park tickets. So for Walt Disney World, they are making available a 5-day midweek park ticket that also has a free 1-day water park benefit. The ticket discount is 5% for some dates and 10% for the remaining dates. Tickets may also be purchased with a park hopper. Tickets have to be used within 8 days of the first use. Tickets are only available for a maximum of 8 people and all have to live in the member's household. Mm. Yeah, I was like, if I lived with 8 people, I'd shoot myself, to be honest.
But I think that's hard, though, because some of the members come down and they bring grandparents with them. And so they can't get the tickets for them.
Yeah, I don't know how picky they're. Really,
I was
going
to say, how much do they really know? I mean, if it was an annual pass, I could understand, but a ticket, like, are they really?
Yeah, we'll see.
It should be noted that our sponsor, DVC Resale Market, offers ticket discounts of 10% off dates with unrestricted use. So this is not particularly a helpful benefit. I will also say for a Florida resident, not a benefit. No. It's not a benefit at all, which I didn't think it would be. I actually thought maybe it would be comparable, but it's not.
And as another comment on it, it kind of sucks that it's a midweek ticket only.
Yeah.
Like, what are they really saving there by doing that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as someone that comes down for a week, you know, even if it is only a 5 or 10%, I would do it, but I'm coming down on a Saturday and stay until the following Sunday. I don't want 2 of my 7 days to not be able to go to the park. Sorry.
Yeah. For Disneyland, a 3-day weekday only ticket is available. Up to 35% off. Now that's a deal.
Yep.
With 2 pricing options at $330 for dates through December 19th and $415 through January 1st, 2026. Hopping can be added for $90. Similarly, the tickets have to be used within 13 days of first use and are restricted to the household. Finally, the perk of buying a Sorcerer's Pass ticket with your DVC points have been defined as needing 75 points for a new pass and 65 points for a renewal. Current purchase renewal price is $1,079 or $929 plus tax. This means you're getting a value of $15.32 per point on a new purchase and $15.22 per point for renewal. These values are actually relatively good as they are greater value than the cost value of most people's points. As of December 3rd, Membership Magic Beyond is available to purchase from Disney for $99, and only one member needs to join. I thought the points prices for the pass was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I had predicted like between 90 and 100. I think I said something like that, 95 to 100, because I thought they would give you, it would be closer to like $12 per point value. You know, again, you can rent out your points and with the DVC rental store and get more than this. You can get $18 per point. You can still benefit further by renting your point than doing this, but it's a lot closer to the value of the points than some of the usages that Disney has. So if you want to just, because of the easiness of it, you want to just do it that way. It's not the worst option.
Yeah. And if you're like, maybe like us, like we're probably not going much next year. Like I don't foresee, we have like 160 points now. I'm not going to be using this because we have the Florida resident option. Right. So we get that pass. But if it was, I could see us where if we were going to like get a pass for the future, I could see us doing that where we're not going to be using those. I'll probably end up rolling them over. Right. I could see us doing that. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm thinking about it too, because we were going to rent out some points this year, and I'm thinking, well, do I just do it this way or do I rent out the points? I'm still deciding because I'm still not sure if I'm going to buy this, even at $99. You know, I mean, there's some okay perks in there, but there's, I also don't have much use for most of them. So,
and I haven't purchased it because I really, the only thing I would want is the extra points, like the points where you can, the one-time use points where you get like half, you know, it's basically half off. Or that's really the only thing. And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to use it next year because we just really have no trips. Like in June, we're doing Universal because we're going to go to Epic Universe. And I don't know when we're going to go back to Disney. We will probably go sometime in 2025, but I don't know. I think we're going to need points because I'm going to be rolling over points.
Right.
So
right.
It's the same thing for me. I don't think I would use it in 2025, maybe the following year.
And I buy the photo pass because it's $99 for that for the whole year. I think it's a great value. What's going to happen is I'm going to want it in 2026 and the price is going to go up to like $399 because that's just going to happen.
$99 is the introductory price.
It is. It's the introductory price. But yeah, you know.
I don't think it'll go up that high, but I could see it going to $199.
Yeah, totally. Which I think is still, it could be worth it.
Now, Sue, would you, being so local, would you get this just for the lounge access?
I'm debating about that. I just don't know if I would use it enough because when I'm in the parks, right. I go to the lounge occasionally, but it's not one of the things on my list. When I'm in the park, I want to go on the attractions. Or the other day I was in there at Epcot and just taking a look at all of the Christmas stories from the different countries. So I didn't have time to go to the lounge. And it dawned on me later, oh, I could have gone to the lounge. But, you know, maybe in the summertime. But then again, I don't tend to go to the parks in the summertime.
Yeah, and you're not going to go to the park just to go to the lounge.
Right.
I haven't gone to the Epcot lounge. And I can't remember the last time I went to the Epcot lounge. Maybe a year or two. It's definitely been over a year. It's probably been more closer to two.
We usually, if we end up with a hot trip, which it seems like most of our trips are hot, we end up in there usually once per trip just to kind of cool down and get a drink and everything. We will be using it, but I certainly wouldn't buy it for that. And as you said, it's kind of the only thing I really look at is those single use points at half off.
Points.
That might be worth it, but at this stage, I don't think I'm going to be getting it. Our next story, this literally dropped today when we're recording, which is on December 5th, is that they released the point charts for 2026. And usually, well, it used to be that they would release these charts usually beginning of January. You need the charts out for 2026 by the end of January 2025. So that's the minimum that they would be able to do that. But in this case, again, they've started recently releasing them in early December. And not a lot of changes for most of them. I actually went through almost everyone. The biggest change, and this is more of a cosmetic change, is that all the resorts that have a standard view option now call that option resort view, except for Saratoga Springs for some reason. They still have standard and preferred, but all the other ones have resort view instead of their standard view. Bay Lake Tower also changed their categories as now they are resort, preferred, and theme park. So they used to be standard lake and theme park. And then Boardwalk went to resort, preferred, and Boardwalk. And they used to be standard. Was
garden
it
pool.
Garden/pool, right?
Yep.
And then Boardwalk. It's just a naming convention thing. It doesn't mean the points have changed for any of them. It was just an interesting little difference to kind of standardize, I think, is the reason they did it. And I think maybe to make resort sounds fancier than standard would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unique little change. The other thing is they changed the Boardwalk studio points just for the standard view. And the three lowest categories, which make up like September, January, May into the beginning of June, and then the first couple weeks of December, they raised the standard view, resort view, weeknight points by 1 point for all three of the lowest categories. And then the standard weeknight in category 4, they lowered by 1 point. And Category 4 is the first 2 weeks of February, and then most of the summer, like from mid-June to late August, I think.
Yep.
Okay.
And then in the fifth category, which is that November category that used to be very cheap but has gone up significantly, they actually lowered the weekends for the standard view by 1 point.
That's interesting, because that's food and wine.
So what's interesting about that is they basically flattened out those first four categories. So if you look at how much a week would cost, it used to range from 71 for the lowest category to 92 points for the category 4. And now it goes from 76 points to 87 points. So there's only an 11-point difference from the lowest category to the fourth category for a week. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure why they flattened it out and just at the boardwalk, because this, I went through every single resort and this was the only one they did it at. I don't know what the reason is. I saw the hint that this happened reading some posts, and that, so being a boardwalk owner, you know, someone that tries to use those points for food and wine, you know, I was very curious to see how it affected me. Now for me, it only lowered my weekly staying at the boardwalk by 2 points for a week, so not really much help.
Hey, it's better than going up 2 points.
Right.
Yeah. No, it is for sure.
And especially having the weekends during October and November down by a point. I'm impressed that the weekends, because those are popular for people coming in just for a long weekend.
I'm kind of surprised. I think they just wanted to balance that. In order to do this, they have to balance everything out. So the total number of points doesn't change. Essentially.
Yeah. Correct.
I don't know what made them decide to do this. I'm sure we'll never know. But just something to be aware of if you're a boardwalk owner, especially because those standard or resort views are usually gone by 7 months. So those are all the owners that are staying in those standard view rooms for the most part.
The only time I could get that was during COVID.
Right. Yeah. The one bedrooms, there's certain times you can get a one bedroom in a standard view, but the studios, forget it. They're gone right at 11 months, pretty much all year round. And then lastly, the villas at the Disneyland Resort, they increased the transient tax, went up 9 cents per point from 2025 to 2026. And for some reason, they raised the grand villas only. They went up 2 to 4 points a night, and nothing was lowered to adjust it, which is a little strange. But then I calculated how much that is over across the year, and it's only 2,200 points across the whole year. So maybe it's just a tweak or some anomaly that they had to adjust the number of points. I don't know what the reason would be.
Well, we need our internet sleuths to get at it.
Yeah, that one I couldn't figure out. The boardwalk one, I'm not sure why they did it either. Level the amount of points per week for the standard view studios, but it's not like there's a slow season for standard view studios. So I don't know. That's about it.
No, it's always good information.
No, but it shows where they did make some changes, so people aren't surprised when they take a look at it.
And it's also good to know, like, if someone's looking to purchase, points change, the point charts change. What you see this year may be different next year. So that's a good thing. It's always good to remember, because that was something that I learned early on.
But they don't change massively. That's the good part. So what I bought 30 years ago still gives me the same amount of time today. Might be in a little different season.
But if you're buying for a specific week or a specific time of year, and you're like, okay, I'm going to need 75 points because that's the points. That might change. And next year you might need 80 points. And like 5 points to us is like, oh, it's only 5 points. But if you bought 75 points for that time, it could change. So that's always good. It's a good reminder.
And that's where you buy the membership magic benefit so that you can get your points half price.
Extra points. I didn't even think of that. Maybe that's how I get more boardwalk points. So if they keep that up, because they did that a few years ago, is they moved points from the summer and other times a year to October, November, and increased across all the resorts how much it costs. And I was one of those people. I only have 75 points at Boardwalk, and I was like, shoot, now I don't have enough points. So I didn't even think about that, but okay.
Well, we have a lot of miscellaneous updates,
a lot of tidbits
to go through. Little tidbits. First of all, Disney let it be known that Test Track's return date is listed as late summer of 2025. So don't expect it to be open in June or July. Originally, they thought they just publicized summer. And when you think summer, you kind of think the start of summer. But this is going to be late summer. Keep that in mind if you're coming during the early part of summer. Disney also announced that Dinosaur will remain open through all of 2025 and is expected to close sometime in 2026. So you still have lots of opportunities to take your rides on Dinosaur and be scared to death. I always know it's coming, but I don't know when. And every time it comes out, it surprises my niece and I. We both kind of jump, and we've been on it so many times. The Pirates of Caribbean Tavern is listed as opening in late 2025. Looking forward to that. Epcot Spaceship Earth Lounge is to open before summer begins in 2025. So that'll be nice if you are coming down during the summer.
And that's not a DVC lounge.
No, that's just a regular lounge. Yep. The villain show in Disney Hollywood Studios is going to be called Unfairly Ever After, and it's opening up in summer of 2025. I love the name. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And Zootopia's show at Tree of Life is still listed for winter of 2025. Bug's Life is closing after this holiday season. Walt Disney, A Magical Life, will open in the Main Street Theater in Disneyland on May 16th, 2025. And this will coincide with the start of the 70th anniversary celebration there. In addition, a new World of Color show called Happiness will debut at the same time. The Paint the Night Parade will also return on this date. Celebration in Disneyland will run through summer of 2026. And last but not least, the Disney Parks blog shares the menu for Whale Lulu Bar and Grill at the Poly Island Tower. I have to take a look at that.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, actually.
Is it? Good kind of food?
Looks like some good options, some good shareable type things, and then some actual...
Oh, nice.
Kind of dinner or whatever you want to call it selection. So there's looks like some good options there that you'll be able to choose from. And of course, some specialty drinks as well, but your mileage may vary there.
Well, just one thing I wanted to bring up. If people are coming at this time of year and you're over at Disney Springs, it's wait in line. It's worth it for Jack Lindsay's bar because it's all decorated for the holidays. They have their holiday drinks back and their holiday appetizers. And it's really a fun place to be. So if you happen to be down there, I'm putting out that little hook for them because it's different. It really is different. And the food was really delicious.
Oh, awesome.
I've never been there. I went to the bar, but the one outside.
Oh, no, you've got inside. It's really a neat place.
Cool. So I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. So that's very lightly themed to Indiana Jones, but it's Indiana Jones theme.
Right.
And you guys were both talking about things that never seem to work out. That's my things that I've never seen. I've never been there because every time we go to Disney Springs, it's like, oh, I want to go there. And then we end up somewhere else. And you know, I got to get there.
Yeah.
Next trip. Yeah. I keep saying that.
Okay. Well, that's our end of our news stories. I did want to just mention, I did go to both Very Merry Christmas Party, as I mentioned, and Jollywood Nights back to back. So I do have those vlogs up on my personal channel, just Shannon Ford, so you can watch. You know, we let Ryder dictate what we were doing. He had some must-dos. His he really focused on rides and characters. So we wanted to see Sandy Claus and Sally, which we did. Mm-hmm. And then at Jollywood Nights was Santa Duffy. Which was, we got to see, and then that was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome to see Santa Duffy. But I will say, because I know you went to the first Jollywood Nights last year, we both did, and it was not good. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. We just had the best time. We really did. Now, we didn't focus on the shows because we had seen the shows. We did hear that they tightened the Hollywood Holidays, the one with the Muppets. Last year, they had like a bunch of faux commercial breaks, which I thought was a waste of time. They got rid of those, which I thought was smart. I didn't see them, but my friend told me and she says, no, there was no commercial breaks. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. It seemed like it was the same show, but they just kind of tightened it a little, which I thought was probably a good thing. We never got to see the ice skating, which I wanted to, but it wasn't on my must-dos. But there was so much to do, and the lines were walk-ons. I mean, the rides were walk-ons, except for Slinky Dog. We did 5 minutes for, it was a 5-minute wait for Millennium Falcon, but that was because you had to walk through the entire queue because there was no, it was literally a walk-on, but the 5 minute was walking through the entire queue, which it was funny because Ryder's like, we've never gone this way. I'm like, because we always buy Genie Plus or whatever it's called now. Like, you're
spoiled. Why don't they just have the Genie Plus line open? That doesn't make any sense.
I guess because they do have the DAS, So they have it open for DAS, but even then it was just a walk-on. Like we had our own ship. We had our own little, had our own private Millennium Falcon. We got to see Mandalorian and Grogu, and we just had a great time. We never even made it over to Animation Courtyard because there was just so much to do. And it wasn't because there was a lot of lines. The longest line I waited for was Santa Duffy, but we split it. We divided and conquered. I went and waited in line and they went and did the dance party so that Ryder didn't have to wait in the line. And even that line at the end of the night was like 25 minutes. So it wasn't bad, but it was great. It was cold, but it was fun. We took so many pictures. So if you're thinking, and I asked Ryder, and a lot of people said, oh, if you have kids, go to Very Merry, but if you're adult, go to Jollywood Nights. Mm-hmm. I asked Ryder and he's like, hands down Jollywood Nights. Hands down Jollywood Nights. Nice. Yes, absolutely. Now, I think if you have little ones, maybe, because there's not as many rides. There are a lot of rides that have more height requirements at Hollywood Studios. So the entertainment isn't as much. There's no parade and the fireworks are about the same time, but there's no parade. But other than that, it was, to me, there was more characters and the rides were all walk-ons where they weren't at Very Merry. We had a great time at Very Merry too, but Very Merry felt crowded. Very Merry felt really crowded where Jollywood Nights did not. And both were sold out. Both were sold out. I mean, I think next year they'll probably increase capacity and they'll probably ruin it because that's what they do. I know there's not that many dates open yet left for Very Merry, if any. And I think there were some for Jollywood Nights. So if you are thinking about it, Jollywood Nights was awesome. I highly recommend it. But you can go and watch my vlog and see if you're interested. They're not too long. I kept them under 20 minutes. But you'll see Ryder. But the funny thing is, on the way back, we actually saw an armadillo.
Oh, wow.
At Beach Club. We got off the bus and we saw an armadillo. So Monday morning, I was like, so Ryder, are you going to tell all your friends about our trip to Disney? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I'm going to tell them I saw an armadillo. And I'm like, really? $1,200 in tickets and that's what you're going to tell them?
Have you not seen an armadillo here in Florida before?
I haven't.
I have a family living on the side of my porch.
Yeah. I mean, we have gators, we have snakes, we got all, but Ray sees them because he goes mountain biking, which is mountain biking is not really mountain biking here in Florida, but he says that he sees them on the trails a lot, but I don't see them like where we live.
Mountain biking. Sorry. That just struck me.
In Celebration, we have the coyotes, we have wild hogs, we have deer, lots and lots of deer during the day eating the plants. We have a bear and a cub. There's a lot of wildlife here in Celebration, and it's amazing. I mean, it's like a pack of hogs, the wild hogs, so they just dig up your yards. It's like a wildlife sanctuary.
Yeah. I just wanted to share that. So if anybody's interested, definitely check out the vlog. But if you're interested in Jollywood Nights and maybe you couldn't get tickets for Very Merry, check out Jollywood Nights because it was awesome.
Yeah, my neighbors went and said they had a blast.
Yeah.
So I agree.
So do you have anything else to add, Pete?
No, I mean, I guess to my comment, like I didn't have as bad a time at Jollywood Nights when I went that first night. But I had super low expectations.
Yeah.
So it met my really low expectations. It's good to hear that they've improved it because it wasn't great.
And it was across the park. They had now Galaxy's Edge was pretty empty, but they had the Mandalorian, which was awesome. And that was actually a photo pass photo, which he's not a photo pass photo. Actually, probably our longest wait was taking the photo with the lightsabers in front of the Millennium Falcon. So we took that because that was something Ray's must do. So we did that photo.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome photo.
All the Star Wars kids want the picture with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
It was really spread out across the park, which that was the thing last year. It was kind of condensed to the front of the park, so it felt more crowded.
Yeah, that was a big problem with it. Like we went back and we did Galaxy's Edge and we did Rise of the Resistance. And that was one of the things I liked about the party is it literally walked onto Rise of the Resistance during the party, even though the first year you had to like do a they had a queue, but it didn't matter. There was nobody there.
And it's funny because Ryder didn't want to ride that. He wanted to ride Millennium Falcon.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, he's nine. You know, he wants to drive the ship.
I want to drive the ship. Yeah. I don't want to be pushing the engineer buttons. That's how I do at work.
Yeah. So it's when he drives, it's always a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
anyway, so just wanted to share that. But before we go, I do want to give a shout out to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And with that, I will say see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.